I don't know how to title today's message. I have more of a word from the Lord that I want to share with you. And I want to connect it with some things we've been studying and try to cooperate with God in understanding these things. My wife and I had a very interesting discussion today about where some of this is going. And in a message coming up, I'm going to share some of that. God doesn't hang out where we hang out. He said, my thoughts are not even your thoughts. Amen? So where God operates, he dwells in a place where what he says always is. And then he says to us, the stuff you see was not made from stuff you see. And then on top of that, he's invisible yet visible. Same place, everywhere at the same time. There's no one can keep him out. And so the issue is we have to move over to where God is. We have to learn how to think like God. And the problem is, as I'm learning how to think more and more like God, I sound crazy. And I'm going to share some things with you, Sister Jones, just from the scripture here. And some of you, I'm going to ask you early on to put your thinking cap on. Some of you will connect the dots early. But as you begin to connect the dots, you will start seeing yourself differently, because the dot connector begins to understand they're connected to the dot maker. You literally will see yourself completely differently just by starting to connect the dots. So let's go to scripture, and I want to lay a foundation, a principle for Bible studies. You hear me okay? It's not too loud and everything. It's okay for you? Okay, Mark chapter 4, and I believe, yes, Mark chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 and 2 to start with, and I want to teach this so where we can all get it and understand it, all right? Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Verses 1 and 2, and you put your thinking cap on early. It says, and he began to teach by the seaside in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by what, everyone? Parables. He taught them many things by what? Parables. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto them, verse number 9, he that hath what? Ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. What were they wanted to know about? They wanted to know about the parable. Watch. And he said in verse number 11 unto them, unto you it is given to know what? The mystery of the kingdom of God. They went to him and they said, hey, tell us about the parables. Jesus turns around and he said, I'm not talking about parables. I am revealing to you the mystery of the kingdom of who? God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So if you are on the outside, what you are listening to is a parable. If you're on the inside, Jesus is teaching you one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You have that? Now, look at Matthew chapter 13. Did we hit it? No, let me go further down. Further down. Verse number 11. Stay with Mark 4, and let's go down to verse number 15, because I want you to get it. Yes. Verse 11. Unto you is given to know the what? Mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done how? in parables, verse number 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not do what? So watch this. Jesus teaches in a way that those who are not close to him will see and not see. They will be in church and hear the same scripture and not hear it. Verse number 12. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time, what will happen? They will be converted and their sins will be forgiven them, right? And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Verse number 14 and 15. He's explaining it. What happened? The sower soweth the what, everybody? And what have we been talking about? God does most of his work through words. And he puts the answers to your prayer in containers called words. The sower soweth the what? Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, what happens? Satan comes, how soon? Immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown where? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Did you read that? Okay, Matthew chapter 13. The same day, verse number 1. Here's another explanation, another viewpoint. And we're going to tie these two together. Please pray for me. Because there's something I have to say and something you have to hear. You got to hear it. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Same instance, right? And he spake many things unto them in what, everyone? Now, what are parables? Mysteries of the kingdom, right? And what did he say in verse number 3? Behold, a sower went forth to do what? Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And what happened? The birds or the fowls came and did what? Devoured them up. Look at verse number 10. The disciples came and said unto him, hey, why are you talking to them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. It is given to who? To you. Say, it is given to me. In other words, God has determined that you will know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But it is not given to them. 12, whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever doesn't have, guess what? To him shall be taken away the little that he has. So if you're going to get anything from God, you want to get a lot. Because a little of God only gives you enough to have your little taken away. Wait a minute, we're not finished. Look at verse number 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not. And what does the next few words say? And neither do they what? Ask your neighbor, do you understand what's going on in here? I am serious. Do you know what's going on? Look at verse number 18. Hear the parable of the sower. Get this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Are we preaching kingdom word today? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and, what does it say? Understandeth it not, then the wicked one, does the Bible say that? Comes along, and what does he do? Catches away that which was sown where? In his what? So the devil comes along and steals the word that was sown in your heart, right? Let's get into it. On the surface, it sounds like Jesus is just talking. But remember, Jesus is laying down. I got to tell you something valuable about hanging out in the kingdom of heaven. Whenever you read in the Bible, Jesus is speaking in parables. To them, it's parables. To you, he's giving you keys. He's explaining to you mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you better understand something about this. Because when the word goes forth and you don't understand it, immediately the devil comes along and takes away what is in your heart. While we're preaching, while we're singing, the word is going forth and it is getting implanted in your heart. And if you don't understand it, the Bible said, Jesus says, you need to know a mystery of the kingdom. One of the mysteries is when you hear the word and it gets in your heart, but you don't understand the word, then the devil is free to take that word from you. And he who only has a little will have even that little taken away. You got to understand this. Notice again, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, you got to get this. You got your thinking cap on? Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and I have good news for you, but I have to explain this. Mark chapter 4. See, some of you are in trouble with God and you don't know it. And the devil doesn't want you to know it. So he doesn't put any more pressure on you because he doesn't want you to get closer to God. But you're already in big trouble because you only have just enough word to come around God. And it's in your heart because you keep coming. But you never grow into a man or woman of God. Therefore, immediately, the devil comes along. He has the right to take it out of your heart. Chapter 4, look at it again. Look at verse number 14 and 15. What does the Bible say in verse 14? The sower soweth the what, everybody? The sower soweth the what, everybody? The most powerful thing in the world is not the United States Army. It is the word of God. This brings down rulers. It sets them up. It changes the course of the weather. A word-filled individual can stand in the face of a storm and tell it to go around the block and don't come back. The word. So the sower comes along and he sows the what, everybody? 15. And these are they by the what side? Wayside. When the word is sown, when they have heard, what does the Bible say? Satan comes how soon? Satan comes how soon? Immediately. And what does he do? Takes away which word? That word that was what? Sown in their hearts. Jesus, help me to get it. You got your thinking cap on. The word is sown all over the place. Stay with me, please. The word is sown in good ground as well as bad ground. Would you tell your neighbor, it's not up to me to determine if you're a good ground or bad ground? I can't sit here in church and determine you're a bad ground. The word sows the word. Jesus sows the word in any kind of ground, what we call bad ground. The seeds that are being sown are powerful enough to come up in any kind of soil. So the sower sows the word everywhere. The problem is people hearing the word don't understand the mystery of the kingdom. They don't know how the kingdom works. The word is sown in the lives of people. The word gets into the hearts of people as soon as they hear the word. According to Romans chapter 10, 17, you can write that down. Faith comes to you by hearing, and hearing the what? So as you hear the word of God, the ability to have faith comes with the hearing of the word. So some of you will be sitting in service today, and I'm going to say some things, and your faith is going to rise up in you, and you're going to start believing that it's for you. But because you don't understand it, the devil will be able to immediately take it out of your heart. And then you will be at home Saturday night wondering what happened. Mark 4 is saying there's a group of people who hear the word. Isn't that what it says? And as soon as they hear the word, faith is being developed. And then Satan comes to take the word that is sown where? In their heart. Doesn't that strike you as strange? That God, listen, can place his word in your heart, and then the devil can come along and steal the word, not just any word, but the word that has been placed in your heart. Doesn't that strike you as strange? Why is it so easy for Satan to steal the word? And especially steal the word that has been sown in my heart. How will God, why does he even allow the devil to steal the word and rob people of faith when the word helps me to have faith and the word is planted in my heart? Why does God allow it to be so easy that the devil comes immediately? Do you know what that is saying? That is saying that Satan has access to our worship service. That he has legal right to be here because some things are taking place on the inside of individuals that give him the right to come in and take what was in their heart. Oh, you better be careful, because the person beside you may be somebody who's not trying to do what God wants them to do, and they're allowing the devil to come in. And they're sitting right next to you. One of the reasons why, are you all thinking? One of the reasons why it's so easy, my brother, for Satan to steal the word is because we are talking here about wayside people. Now, that's the easy answer. It's going to get rougher. I'm going to give you the easy one first. There are people on the edge, and they're not fully into it. You know anybody like that? If it's you, you can go and say amen. Amen. You're not a bad person, but you don't have enough word in you to be fully involved in the kingdom. You kind of go to kingdom activities on the weekend, but you're really in the world. Huh? You know anybody like that? You're not fully committed. You got a little word in your heart. Satan comes and he takes away the word, right? That's the easy part. Everyone say that's the easy part. Here's the tough part. I accept what I just said as being true, but it doesn't answer the question for me. I accept that they were on the wayside, fine. So now I'm not going to be a wayside person. I'm going to be right up in the middle. But he said he can take it out of your heart. It doesn't answer for me how Satan is able to steal from my heart. And what he steals is not just ordinary, but it's the word that Jesus planted in my heart. And he planted it in my heart to bless me. But it doesn't answer the question. Doesn't it just strike you as strange? That your Bible says the devil can come immediately and take the word out of your heart. How is it possible that the devil can come to you and me and take the word of God that has been sown in our hearts? He can just take it out. I heard somebody say that God would not allow the devil to snatch anything out of his hands. I heard somebody say that God has my back. That God watches over me, that God watches my stuff, and he that keepeth me neither slumbers nor sleeps. So how is it possible that the devil can get my stuff out of my heart? According to Jesus, which is a mystery of the kingdom. And if I don't know how he's going to get it, guess what? The devil will be able to come in every time a word gets in your heart. Pulls it right on out. The very word that is planted. I have to ask the question, why would God, listen, why would God sow the word in my heart if God knew that the devil was coming to snatch it away? Why would God allow me to come to church and feel so good about him, knowing the trouble I'm going to be in Saturday night? Why would God allow that? Why would God begin a good work in you if he's not going to perform it and allow the devil to snatch away the word that God has given you? Please hear me. Satan is only allowed to take away the word you do not understand. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But because you won't even try beyond a church service. Oh, it's going to get worse than that. This is one of the mysteries of the kingdom. This is why we'd be up in heaven wondering why pastor didn't make it. With all that word in his heart, how was the devil able to get it out of his heart? Preach to others and then be a castaway. To be in church all my life and not make it into heaven. Huh? To be shouting and singing and praising God about how much you love him, but you don't have enough word to live for him. And you're wondering why. And the devil comes, snatches it away. And God say, I know it. That's one of the mysteries of the kingdom. Satan is only allowed to take away from you the word you do not understand. Look at Matthew chapter 13 again. Matthew 13, you're not off the hook yet. You're not off the hook yet. Matthew 13, look at verse number 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And remember when Jesus is speaking in parables, what is he doing for us? He's explaining the what? Of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. When anyone hears the word, are you hearing the word of the kingdom today? And what does the next word say? And understandeth it not, then cometh the what? The wicked one, right? And what does he do? Catch away that which has been sown where? Why, again, let's back up. Why did God sow the word in my heart to begin with? Why did God allow you to come to church? According to Psalms, you know it's a privilege. You've been called into the house of God. You say, I went to church. You've been called to church. Uh-huh. Why did God allow you to come to church? God allowed you to come to church, listen, because he wants to plant a word in your heart. Why? Because most of what God does, he does in seed form. And the answers to your prayers are coming in seed form. So he gives you tomorrow's news in seed form. He gives you your new job. He pays your rent in seed form by giving you word today. God sends, see the apple seed doesn't have to look like an apple tree. The apple seed, one apple seed has more apple trees in it than we have space to grow apple trees. One seed. Oh, if I can get a word from the Lord. Woo! Anyhow. And thank God I got a word. I got a word. God sends your answers to prayer in seed form. What kind of form? He sends you the seed because he's giving you the harvest. He sends you the seed because he's giving you the what? All right. As soon as God sends you the answer in seed form, He places that answer in your heart in seed form. And you don't understand that they are really answers to your prayers. So immediately the wicked one comes along to snatch away the word before you can wake up and understand what God has done for you that you don't see yet. I'm going to say it again. I'm answering your prayer. I'm sending you a harvest. What does my harvest look like? It looks like a seed. I give you the seed, but because you don't understand that the seed is the answer to what you don't see, because I'm teaching you how to walk by faith and not by sight, I give you the answer in seed form. The devil comes along. They don't understand what that is. They don't know that's a flower. I'm going to take it away before they realize what it is. Because once they realize what it is, I'm telling you, once you realize what it is, God said, with men, some things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And let me tell you, my brother and sister, you got God in you working it out, both to will and to do. The devil wants to keep you from realizing it. If you knew what you had in the word of God, you would hold on to it to harvest time. No, let me make it better. If you knew what God had in store for you before you came to church today, you would have come in shouting rather than coming in all balled up in your face. Because no matter how you're feeling in your body, I'm coming up in the house of God, and God has a word of liberation from me. God is going to heal my body. If he doesn't heal mine, he's going to heal somebody, because the word says so. If it's not my party, I'll shout at your party. Amen. Because I understand what I'm receiving. I understand. But because I don't understand what I have, because you don't understand what you have, Satan then comes to take the seed of the word. Why? Because Satan knows what you have. Are you listening to me? You are so awesome that the devil spends his time sneaking up on those who have the word planted in them. The devil doesn't have to worry about the world. He's worried about the church. And he has angels assigned, demonic angels assigned, to watch to see which word you receive. But you don't understand. He said, we better get that word, because they will get free. They will get healed. They will get delivered. I won't be able to use them to mess people up anymore. I come after the word. But because I don't know what church is all about. I think church is about people and whether or not they like me. Amen. Love them if you can, but forget them and learn how to love God. And God will give you enough love for even those who don't love you, even for those who are unlovely. Oh, hallelujah, anyhow. Amen. When you don't understand what you have. Some men have lost good wives and good women because they didn't understand what they had. Some women have lost good men because they didn't understand what they had. I want a man that'll knock me around. Baby, you crazy. You need a man who will love on you until you be all that you can be in God. You don't need a man going upside your head and trying to knock your brains out, but you don't think you got a man until he slaps you. Well, if you got to be slapped, slap yourself every now and then. Get in the mirror if you got to be slapped, but don't live like that. You lost a whole lot of good because you think a man is weak because he doesn't slap you when you deserve it. Amen, because you run up on him with your mouth and he didn't haul back at you. You're talking about, I'm trying him. I want him to be strong. What do you want him to do, run over you with his car? I mean, what do you really want? Bless God, I hope he gets away from you because you're crazy. You got to be beat on to feel love. I hope he finds a good woman, amen, a sanctified lady. They can help him praise. Anyhow, let me find my notes. They're here somewhere. When you don't understand what you have, Satan comes after the seed of the word, because he knows what you have. And what is the devil trying to keep you from? He's trying to keep you from receiving your harvest. And you give up your seed because you don't understand what it is. Listen, if we took a two-year-old and put them here in the front of the church, and all of us with money in our checking account walk up to the two-year-old and signed a blank check and gave it to the two-year-old, would they know what they had? But you would know that based upon your signature, everything you have in the bank is in jeopardy. And God has signed it in his blood. But you don't know what you have. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19. What does it say? Hear ye therefore the what? Parable of the sower. And what is God talking about when he talks of a parable? He's explaining to us a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. What does verse 19 say? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Are you hearing kingdom word today? Some of you, your faith is already jumping out. You know you're awesome. Your faith already jumping off. And what is the devil doing? I'm watching to see. They don't understand it. I can legally take it. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and what? Understandeth it not, then cometh who? The wicked one. And what does the wicked one go after? Huh? Can I give you a picture of what's really going on? If we were able to examine the language here, it is literally saying, as I am preaching the word, the wicked one is catching up what you don't understand. We're working together. Not on the same team, but working at the same service. I'm having church planting, and he's having church stealing what is being planted. It is saying simultaneously, as the word is being given, he's snatching it right on up. They don't understand what they've heard. They're going to go right back out of here and live exactly the same way they were living before they came to church. They will walk out of the door as if they never heard a word from the Lord. They will say that was the pastor talking. They will say that was a man. We know him, but God is speaking through me, and I'm giving you a thus saith the Lord. The same one who created all of this is speaking to you today. When you don't understand it, so while I'm preaching, the word is being sown, but because you don't understand what is going on, you don't understand what I'm teaching, then the enemy is taking away what you don't understand, and he's taking it out of your heart. That's why your joy doesn't last much beyond church. When the choir stops singing, all your joy is gone, because you have joy based on the choir, and if they hit a bad note, your joy leave right then, amen? Some of you won't stay with folk if they hit a bad note for long. You might as well say amen. You can't have church if they hit a bad note. Amen. Shake their head the wrong way. All of a sudden, my joy went out of the room. What was your joy based on? Now, can I keep talking? I hear what the Bible is saying, that the devil is allowed to snatch away the word that I don't understand. Is that what the Bible is saying? Now, this is my dialogue with God. God, that is not fair. Would anyone agree with me? See, you're playing with me up in here. You know what? They're looking at me. We're not sure which side we're on. You have an opinion. Yes, you do. They're looking to see. Which way you going, Pastor? No. Look, be real. Is this fair? So let's tell God that's not fair. Are you willing to do that? God, that's not fair. Some of y'all scared to say that in church. Wait a minute. You didn't think God was going to strike you down the last time you lied, so why do you think he's going to strike you down in the middle of a sermon? Huh? They're going to try to fake me out like they're so holy. We're not going to say, God, you're not fair, and you will lie. In the church as well as outside the church. You don't have enough word to tell the truth in the church, in the middle of a sermon. Oh, Jesus. I feel this is not fair. I feel the devil should not be allowed to snatch away the word the Lord has planted in my heart. Anyone else would agree with me on that? Do you feel the devil should be allowed to snatch away the word God has planted on your heart? Okay. So there must be something more to this. Okay, let's go to work. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And listen, watch all the distractions. Because remember, it's a simultaneous work. Amen? I told somebody you might have to stand up and preach. The choir was out rejoicing last night to 2 in the morning. I said the choir may have to stand up and stand up. So they go to sleep. I'm not going to call their name, but just stand up. Amen? Amen. Somebody said call it anyhow, huh? Do you have Isaiah chapter 5? Would you turn to verse 13 and 14? You have it? Please get a Bible. The word is in the Bible. I'm not preaching everything in the text. And God will preach to you while I'm preaching. Remember, it's a simultaneous action. It says in verse 13, you might want to underline it, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So God is saying, my people have gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude drieth up with thirst. Therefore, what does hell do? Hell was saying, okay, we got room for about 2 billion. But because those church folk never got it right, we got to get a little larger to accommodate the flaky ones who've been pretending all this time. Did you get that? Let me say it again. My people are gone into captivity. Why? Because they have what? No knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, what does hell do? Have to make more room, amen? There are some people trying to go to hell, and God is trying to get them in heaven, and you're making it so hard on the Lord. I'm laughing rather than crying. But it's really sad when you think about it, amen? Make it hard on God. Let's go to Hosea. Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. God said, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. And because they don't have any knowledge, hell has to enlarge themselves. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. What does it say? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea 4. It's back there by Joel. It's back there by Daniel. You know where Daniel is in the Bible? You can find it by Daniel. It's a pretty popular book. Go to Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. My people are destroyed for what? Now, most of us stop there, but God doesn't stop there. You've been destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. We go into captivity because of our lack of knowledge. But what does he say? Because you have done what? Whoa. He's saying you've been destroyed for lack of knowledge, but you also rejected knowledge. Is that what it says? And it says, I will also do what? Reject thee, that thou shalt no more be a priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. So notice, God's people have been destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And the reason why there's a lack of knowledge is because they are rejecting knowledge, because they are forgetting knowledge. So I'm being destroyed because of the lack of knowledge and what I reject. Listen, what I reject, what I don't understand. What I reject, what I don't understand, the enemy comes along and snatches away what I reject. When the Bible says the devil comes and gets what you don't understand, he gets what you don't understand because you're rejecting what God would have you understand. He's saying you're destroyed for lack of knowledge because you reject knowledge. Are you all still with me? So if I learn how to stop rejecting knowledge, the enemy will not be able to snatch away what is mine. The second thing he says, the enemy can snatch away what is yours because you forget what is yours. My people are destroyed because of what? Because they reject knowledge. And he says in that same text, and they forget. So when I reject and when I forget, then the enemy now codes that as not understanding. And what I don't understand, he can take away. And the Bible is saying, it's not that you just didn't understand it. When I was trying to help you understand it, what did you do? You rejected it or you for? Now, I can still hear somebody complaining and I'm still there. Wait a minute. I can't help it if I forget what God told me over the years. Anybody here remember everything God ever told you? God has told me so much that there's no way I can remember everything God wants me to remember. So why would God allow me to be messed up on my understanding because I don't remember? God is not expecting you to remember everything he told you all the days of your life. So it must be even deeper than that. Are you all still with me? John chapter 14. John 14. I got good news. John 14, verse number 26. St. John chapter 14, verse number 26. Did you find it? Notice what it says. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father would do what? He's going to send him. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is going to have to teach you all things. And so the burden of remembering everything is not on you. The burden is on the Holy Ghost. But the problem is we don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, which is a mystery of the kingdom. We're trying to go to heaven without knowing the Holy Ghost. We're not filled with the Spirit. We're not led by the Spirit. We're not guided by the Spirit. We're not walking and talking and following God as the Spirit would have us move. Therefore, we're not having the ability to understand what God is saying. And the enemy's saying, boy, I can get all of their stuff because they keep forgetting. My job is not to remember everything. That's the Holy Ghost's job. And when I need to remember it, he would bring it to my remembrance. He said, when I'm in you, all you got to do is open your mouth and I will fill it. I will teach you and I will fill it. Well, that takes care of half of the problem. But we still have another problem. Why is it that I keep rejecting God? One of the main ways Christians reject God is through unbelief. I'm not talking about folk in the world. They reject God for other reasons. Christians, I'm talking about church folk. Spirit of Life, one of the main ways we reject God is through what? Unbelief. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. And what happens when I go into unbelief? Father, would you help us, please? Help us to stay on track because we want to get this. We want to in our hearts, amen? We want to be free. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's pick up verse number 7. Wherefore, did you find Hebrews? Okay. Somebody else found it? I see some of you still looking. You want to read it, amen? Hebrews chapter 3. And Hebrews is back there by Timothy and some of the other books. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you do what? Hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation, where? in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works, how long?
40 years.
Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err where? In their what, everybody? And they have not known my ways. They err in their heart. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter in. Why? Take heed, brethren. Take heed, spirit of life. Tell your neighbor, take heed. I feel like saying right now, somebody needs to stop playing with God just about now. Because tomorrow is not promised to you. And church is more than what you see going on. God is having a divine dialogue with somebody's heart today, trying to give them a harvest. So the word says today, do what? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the what kind of God? Living God. But exhort one another, how, everybody? Daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the what? Deceitfulness of sin. 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it was said today, if you hear his voice, don't do what? Don't harden your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt with Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that what? Believe not. 19. So we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of what? Because when I gave them the answer to their prayer, they saw it in seed form. And how could God do so much with so little, meaning me? Oh, and you stay where you are. And God is trying to pull you up to a child of God. You claim to be a Christian, one like Christ, one who behaves like Christ, speaks like Christ. And the seed of the word is in you, but you don't believe. And God said, after a while, it becomes evil. How can I change it? What will happen? The only change you can make is to obey God with the little bit you know right now. To make a commitment. God, I'm going to obey you with the little bit I know. The problem with Israel was that they left Egypt with part of Egypt in them. And God tried to kill Egypt while they were leaving Egypt. So he took them through trials to kill off the Egypt that was in them. But they kept holding back. And they would hold back a little more. And they would hold back some more. Until after a while, they were completely disobeying God. And it became evil in their hearts. And then Jesus said, guess what? This is a mystery of the kingdom. What's the mystery? You'll be preaching and having church, and some folk will be seeing and receiving, and others will be seeing and didn't see anything. They'll be hearing and didn't hear anything. You don't start off evil and didn't plan to end up evil. How can I keep away from having an evil heart of unbelief? You say you're a believer, but there are some things you don't believe. Or there's some things you need to believe more. What is it that you and I don't believe or we need to believe more? Most of us don't believe that we are already delivered. Most of us. So we have chosen to retain what God has released. He said, when you come to me, all things are passed away. We make God a lie by bringing the old with us. We have been delivered from Egypt, planted in the promised land, and God said, if you praise me and you pray, I will destroy your enemies for you. The Bible said, if a man's ways please the Lord, I will make your enemies. I will grab your enemy and say, be at peace with them. But we don't believe that. Or we need to believe it more. Because if we believed it more, we would be at peace and let the Lord fight our battles. our blood pressure will go all the way down to where it ought to be, amen? Wouldn't be stressing and pulling our hair out. The other thing we don't believe or need to believe more, that we are already healed. You're not sick waiting for Jesus to heal you. That's the other folk. One of the mysteries of the kingdom, you're already here. He says, by my stripes, you are. And every time somebody says that, you say in your heart, not me. Because you struggle with the facts over the truth. The fact is I am sick. The truth is I am healed. I have to make sure I keep the truth over the facts. You don't believe you're already delivered, that God has already taken you out of poverty. So when you don't have what you need in your checkbook, the facts are, oh, I'm overdrawn and everybody looking for me. I can't answer the phone. No, I don't even have a phone anymore, amen. Couldn't pay the bill. That's a fact. But the truth is, because I'm a child of God and have been obeying God, the truth is I'm already out of poverty. I'm already rich. Just a matter of time. When I lay down, I'm blessed. When I get up, I'm blessed. Every bill collector who decides to give me a break on my bills will be blessed. Because I'm blessed. Everybody who blesses me is blessed. Everybody who gives me a break on the freeway and let me cut in when it's not my time, they get blessed. Oh, but because I don't believe it, I give them the finger. And then I come to church to ask for forgiveness rather than asking for it in the car, because I believe in salvation by works. What is it you don't understand? You give me a few more minutes. You need to know your life was a planned pregnancy. Your mama and daddy did not make a mistake. Well, they may have made a mistake, but God did not make a mistake. That's the one. God did not make a mistake. You did not sneak up in here. You were deliberately created by God. Listen, and chosen before the world was formed. Before he made the world. I want you. I want you. I want you. And now I make a world for you to be born into. Three things Satan hopes you would never understand. Hope you never understand who you are. So what do you do? He'll slime you up all week long. And you'll carry all of that slime all over you. And get it all on the inside of you. And talk about all the problems you have. Rather than declaring who you are in God. God says you're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You don't just conquer. You conquer so much, it's like you're leaping over walls. One of you is so powerful that we can line up 1,000 demons in front of you, and every one of them, 99 plus one, start running. And if two of you get together, you can turn a city upside down. Yeah, you don't know how powerful you are. Jesus took 12 men and changed the world. And we'll come to church and with our shackles on. Hallelujah. And pray that the pastor will leave you in your shackle. Oh, if I could run today, I'd run over and snatch some of that off of you. Amen. But guess what? It won't do any good if I snatch it off and you want it on. Because you'll go back home and create a jail for yourself. Because the jail is in your mind. You won't read the word and let the word change your mind. So you think the same way. You believe the same way. You reject what God is saying. You say, that's not for me. Why did God wake you up and draw you in? Because it is for you. Ah, Jesus. Ah. I want to preach just a little more. I just need to get this off my chest. I can see you free. I can see you free. I can see you free. Matthew chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. And you ain't seen nothing yet. A certain woman which had an issue of blood, how long? Yeah, she actually had issues because she kept on bleeding for 12 years. She had 12 years of that struggle. Huh? And what does the Bible say? She had an issue of blood, verse 25, for 12 years and had suffered many things of what? Many physicians and had spent what? All that she had and was nothing bettered but grew worse. And when she heard, get this somebody, she heard of Jesus, right? She came how? In the press behind and touched his garment, for she said what everybody? If I may do what? Touch his, I don't even have to touch Jesus, but if I can just touch his clothes. The thing that bothers me, what made that woman feel she was qualified to get a miracle? And I would come to church year after year and feel unqualified. Who told her that she could get a miracle from his clothes? How dare that woman think that you can get blessed by God by just touching the hem of his garment? Oh Lord, I just heard him. Yeah, see, somebody said I gotta touch Jesus, but today you can receive the word from the preacher as the clothes from the master. You don't need to hear from Jesus, you heard from the word from the preacher. Somebody can get healed off a prayer of a child. Their faith was at work. What told her that if you can touch him? Why the confidence? How dare you have confidence if I just touch his clothes? And the Bible recorded it. That woman got blessed off of his clothes. And Jesus said, when you got my clothes, you pulled something out of me that wasn't up in my clothes. It was up in me. But your faith got a hold of me. And you got something nobody else in the crowd got. She snuck up and stole a blessing. And Jesus stopped and said, hold on. I want you all to know a mystery of the kingdom. That you can be up in church with your broke, disgusted, messed up self. And somebody can be sitting beside you who's determined, I'm not leaving until I get what I need from God. And they can come in from the back and get what they need from God. I am an overcomer. I am already delivered. I am. And listen, you got to learn how to say it. Why? Because when you say it, you hear it. And there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So I'm sick, the doctor says, okay, that's a fact, but I'm going to tell myself I'm healed. Listen, the doctor hadn't been able to fix it yet, so why not try something different? The word, the mystery of the kingdom. Can I just share this? And I'm going to sit down. We are destroyed because of our lack of knowledge. The wicked one comes and takes away the word you do not understand, right? Satan can only take away the word that you do not understand. And why does he come immediately to take it? Because if you don't understand it, you won't fight to keep it. He wants to keep you ignorant of the word. He's after the word. So he can stop you from renewing your mind. So that says then, I got to view church differently. I'm going to get word. Because that word is seed bringing me harvest. It's answering my prayer in seed form. That's why that was such a blessing to me. You ain't seen nothing yet. I was sitting there listening to that, or standing there listening to it, and it just hit me. You know you're right. When we get to heaven and see Jesus, not only will we shout, but some of us will be thinking, I was tripping when I had all of this. All of the power of God available for me. That God even challenged me that before you call, I am already answering. That's the mystery. Do you know how to work it now? Got to make sure I got to stop rejecting God. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief. Ask God to help thou my unbelief. See, some folk will leave church and go back to a life of sin because they believe they're not going to die tonight. They believe they're in charge. And some people, God can only save them by letting them grow older. Because they won't listen until they get too old to do the stuff they think they can do. And out of mercy, he begins to speak into their heart. The mystery of the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time of sharing your word today. I believe you, God. Yes. Amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The word of salvation is available. Did you know that? Jesus does not have to go back to the cross to die for your sins. Sin is not a problem with God. He's taking care of that on the cross. Jesus did it. He said, it is finished. The issue is now, will you believe it and will you accept it? Will you receive it? Will you walk in what God has for you? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Would you take your neighbor's hand and let's believe God for them? And then we're going to make an appeal here in just a moment. Whatever your neighbor is struggling with, whatever your friends are dealing with, whatever your loved one, that person beside you, we don't know, but this is a life or death situation. And would you just squeeze some encouragement in their hand right now? In Jesus' name, Father, we just bless our neighbor and our friend. And we declare everyone who needs to make a decision for you, everyone who needs to make a shift and a change, will make it in this service today. They will not reject you. They will open their heart and say, God, you and I both know I need you. And I'm saying, please come in. I walked away from you, or I need to come to you, or I need strength to make it because it's hard. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. Would you let your neighbor's hand go? Would you lift your hand with me? Father, we don't take it lightly, what you shared with us today. We'll receive it today that we're children of God. Doesn't matter what society says about us, we're children of God. And that we have healing today, we have deliverance, we have prosperity, we have wisdom, we have understanding. We love you, God, with all of our heart. And we know what to do with it. We thank you for making it available to us today. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen.